you come, Lord Jesus. The great challenge that we've got as human beings is to restore our relationship with God. We were made to be in relationship with God, which is why Adam and Eve were able to walk with God and to talk with Him. Before the fall, this was part of God's original plan for us. But what happened was that all the relationships break down, and we can see how this works out in Genesis chapter 3. The woman takes the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil from the serpent, and she eats. And in doing so, what she does is she submits herself to the will of the serpent and is disobedient towards God. She then gets the man to do the same. And immediately follows relationship breakdown. The first level of relationship breakdown is that the man and the woman take fig leaves to cover themselves. They understand that they are naked, that they are now in sin. They need a covering, but they cover themselves from themselves. And one of the battles we have as human beings is self-understanding. And if you go into the world and look at what people do in the world, you'll find that so much of the time they're trying to understand themselves, analyze themselves, answer quizzes about themselves, define themselves, and so on. But fundamentally, we will always be out of touch with ourselves, but for God. The next layer of barrier, of course, was that because the man and the woman have covered themselves, they also have covered themselves from each other. There is a barrier between male and female, and we can see this very clearly being worked out in the world around us at the moment. The battle of the sexes is as old as the hills, and there is this gap of understanding between man and woman. Then we see a further gap, which is the gap between human beings and God. And so whereas Adam and Eve could operate with each other in the Garden of Eden with covering, that wasn't sufficient when it came to the presence of God. So they have to go and hide themselves completely from God. And then God starts to call out to them. And you notice, if you read the story, the way in which God always takes the initiative. And so it is with Christ. Christ takes the initiative to draw human beings back to himself. But that relationship, when Christ dies on the cross, we have the idea that the curtain in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom, and there is that access to God through Jesus Christ, which is made available not just to a few people, but to all. In fact, just about the only thing that remains in the new covenant that is there in the temple worship of the old covenant is the presence of worship. So that in the center of Solomon's temple, there was the place for the worshippers. And that place of worship remains. Otherwise, all the other barriers have gone. Jesus, the high priest, leads us into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Both men and women are able to go. We are all a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, called according to 1 Peter chapter 2, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. In Hebrews, the sacrifice that the people of God make to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that confess his name. So we, as God's people, access his presence as a praising people. But this praise is described as a sacrifice. Now, right the way back in Genesis again, in God's encounters with Noah, Noah offers clean animals as a sacrifice after he leaves the ark. And it says that the aroma, the smoke, the aroma of that sacrifice goes up to God. And God smells the fragrance of that sacrifice and makes a very significant covenant with humanity. We do not have animal sacrifice, we have the sacrifice of praise. And so we know that as God smells the aroma of our sacrifice of praise, he responds with covenant blessing. How do we want covenant blessing to be worked out in our lives? Well, the thing that really gets to us as Christians is the absence of the presence of God, either in individuals, in a community, in a city, in a nation. We long to see those around us come to Christ. We long to see our communities transformed. We long to see this city bringing renown and praise to God. The whole drive of our Saviour Jesus, who is in us, is to bring glory to God. And so we are not merely offering praise to God. We are seeking God, not for ourselves, but for his glory. So that as he moves in power, we will see all that beautiful transformation as our communities are changed into the image of God. That those who are far off come near and join with us in the praise and worship of our Saviour and Lord. Well, what we've been doing in the various forms of trumpet call, as a prayer network, as prayer camps, has been to attract the presence of God through our worship. So that as we draw closer and closer to God, we become aligned with him. And one of the images that we've had very strongly with us for some time now has been that of Esther. Esther's a strange book, in as much as it is the only book in the Bible that does not directly talk about God. But what Esther does do is talk about a king. Now, we have to say that Xerxes was not exactly an ideal monarch. He has a major objection to his queen Vashti in chapter 1, basically because she won't do as she's told. And he determines to find himself a new queen. The way he does it is not a way that we could in any sense approve of. But suffice it to say that what he comes up with is somebody who is God's person. How does she get there? Well, she does it by making herself attractive to the king. Queen Esther becomes Queen Esther because she chooses to do it the king's way. From the moment that she is taken, whether she wanted to come or not is not stated, and she is prepared to spend a night with the king, she has lost all other hope. Her whole focus is upon the king. Her best hope is to please the king. And so she takes advice from the chief eunuch. How shall I make myself attractive for the king? I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it his way. And that succeeds in getting her to the place where she is able to develop an intimate relationship with the king. Her next stage is the crisis. in Esther, where we discover that the Jewish people are going to be subject to an act of genocide. But Esther has the opportunity to talk to the king. And the people of God, they fast, they pray, but Esther has to go into the king's presence. And the way she goes into the king's presence is interesting because it's very strategic. She makes herself as attractive to the king as possible. She has the opportunity to speak, and instead of immediately blurting out a list of requests, she says, "Come and have dinner with me." And so Xerxes has dinner, and he's intrigued, he's interested, he's entertained, he is attracted. And he says, "What do you want?" And she says, "Come to dinner with me again." See, all the time, Esther's focus is to make herself attractive for the king. And so then what happens next? He comes to dinner for a second time. And finally, when the request comes out, not only is Xerxes absolutely enamored with his queen, he will not only give her what she asked, which is for the salvation of God's people, but in chapter 8 we see that he takes off his signet ring and gives it to Esther and says, "You rewrite the laws. You rewrite the laws." And part of our thinking in trumpet call is that as we come into the presence of God and make ourselves as attractive as possible to the King of Kings, then we come into an intimate place with him where he says to us, "You rewrite the laws." And the laws we're talking about are not the laws of the land. The laws we're talking about are the attitudes that go up to make our sinful society, what has again recently, because of the civil disorder that's happened in major cities, been dubbed the sick society. What we are doing is not looking at the problems, but looking at the solution, understanding that through an intimate relationship with God, we will see God move. But we have to bear in mind that once we've got into that intimate place with God, we're not just there to make requests. In fact, if we get into an intimate place with God simply to make requests, then that's not so much adoration as manipulation. We're not going to go down that road. Where we want to go with this is to love God for himself. And so another passage that we're very aware of at the moment is in Revelation. Particularly at the beginning of chapter 4, God says to his people, "Come up higher and I will show you. Come up higher and I will show you things that are to come." But we need to come up higher into that place of alignment with God. And in our worship, we want to align the worship of earth with the worship of heaven, so that together we are able to do those things, be those things which are attractive to God. Now, because we're all imperfect human beings and we have tendencies stuck in our flesh to sin, we are in the world, and although we're not of it, we can get tarnished by the world, and problems and issues will cling on to us. It means that as we draw closer and closer to God, and he is a holy God, so as we draw closer and closer into his presence, we become more and more aware of our own sin. So part of our journey has been to do our best to throw off the sin that so easily entangles in order to run the race. As we enter into that intimacy, there are also layers of commitment, layers of laying down layers of inner healing. The upshot of it is that our worship and our prayer goes up before the throne of God. So if we look into Revelation 7:9-8:5, we see that process by which the prayers of the saints go up before the throne. The angel takes a golden censer and fills it from the altar and sends fire to earth. And there is thunder and lightning and an earthquake. It's a cataclysmic event. And God's intervention into the lives of humanity can have a profound transforming effect. How big an effect? God is the one who raises up nations and pulls them down. God is bigger than every situation, every community, every city, every nation. He is the one, the only one. And apart from him, we can do nothing. And so we need not our own strength, but his strength. Not our own will, but his will. Not our own wisdom, but his wisdom. So we have to be careful that as we come into his presence, that our words are few. We don't want to be dictating to God the way that he should be doing, what he should be doing, when he should be doing it. We do not dictate to him timings and times and seasons and places. What we want to do is to align ourselves with him and say to him, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when God's intervention comes, it will not bring about all the changes and transformations that we long for in our hearts. And yet we ourselves will not only be involved, God will even credit us, his church, for so much of what happens, even though it's really all his initiative, it's really all his empowering, it's really all his ministry. But he says to us that he wants us to be participating in his work. He honours us with that. And that's just absolutely incredible, that here we are, just by worshipping, by praising, by coming into an intimate place with him, we are actually creating the conditions in which God will move in power. And all the praise and worship that's been going up before the throne for all these many years has been, as it were, creating a fantastic stream of water, a whole collection of streams which have been gathered together, ready for the release of a great flood. I will come back to this on another occasion, but in the river of God in Ezekiel, what we find there is a great flow of blessing coming from the temple, coming from the place of worship. And that flow of blessing moves powerfully, moves effectively. And there is a place on the shore of that river for the spreading of nets. In other words, it's a place where many, many fish are caught. The fish are not only in great numbers, but in great variety. And here is the Lord saying, when my blessing flows, all manner of people will be drawn into the kingdom of God. But first, release my blessing. First, get into that intimate place with me. First, align yourselves with me. First, draw near to me in adoration. First and foremost, make yourselves attractive to the King. And he will give you whatever you ask.